things. Okay, so give them one more big hand, would you? All right, now here's your moment, okay? Here's your moment. If you don't want to testify, I'm going to have everybody close their eyes and you can run back to your seat, okay? So anyway, if you don't want to testify, I don't want to put anybody on the spot and feel like they've got to say something. So amen. We're going to give them a chance. Listen, you got to keep a quick time limit, okay? Quick, about 1 minute. So keep it short, keep it concise, and keep it moving. And if you want to sit down, feel free to do that, okay? By the way, I love this young man right here, Mr. Taylor. I'll tell you what, he is a trooper, amazing young man. He was such a blessing, and you'll hear what happened to his hand, but it didn't stop him. I'll tell you what, he's full of the love and joy of Jesus. So, Zach, start us out. Let's move down the line quickly, and God bless you guys.
All right, so I don't have a lot of time, so I'm gonna get this sweet and short. But two quick testimonies. The first one, we were on Bible distribution. And it was a small group. It was me, a young lady named Kira, and then my good friend Rodrigo, and my Nicaraguan brother, Kevin. And Rodrigo spoke about as much English as I do Spanish. And Kevin speaks even less English than Rodrigo does. And we went to this house, and we saw a lady in her yard kind of cleaning up some stuff. And we know we went through our normal spiel. You know, we're Christians from America. We're here to give Bibles out to every home. You know, can we talk with you for a minute? And she's like, yeah, come on in. So she invites us into the house, and it's not uncommon in Nicaragua for a house to have more than one family. I actually gave Bibles to a household that had four families of five in this tiny house. And another story for another time, the oldest male and his wife gave their lives to Jesus on that time. But this particular instance, the woman that we first started talking to was the sister of the lady that actually owned the house. And we, you know, how are you? You know, we're Christians from America. They're like, oh, we're Christians too. Yeah, look at our Bible. And it's this old, it's big black leather, you know, tatted, like the pages are falling out of it. And we were able to give them Bibles. And they were so thankful for that. And we asked them, what can we pray for you about? My team, that was our favorite question to ask. Quiero orar por la familia, which is very broken Spanish for what can we pray for your family about? And she said, pray for my kids. Pray for my kids because if the opportunities don't open up, they're not going to be able to go to school next year. And they were in fifth and sixth grade. And she also said, pray for my son. He gets bullied at school a lot. He comes home every day with bruises, and he's sad all the time. And I was, ¿dónde está el niño? So she called him in. His name is Bruno. I got a sweet, sweet kid. I got a picture of him with him on my phone if you want to see it. But she told me he kept getting bullied and kept getting picked on by bigger kids. And I looked at Rodrigo, I was like, you got to do this for me, brother. Just go with me. And I was able to gesture and able to speak slowly enough and concisively enough that he could understand what I was trying to say. And he translated it to Spanish. And I said, when I was a kid, I got picked on and I got bullied my entire life. I'd come home from fights at school. I'd come home crying. And most people never even knew about it because I was too ashamed to tell anybody. And as I'm sharing this with him, he's trying to smile and he's trying to be respectful and look at me. But he starts to cry. And he starts to break down, and I dropped to my knees, and I hugged him, and we cried together, and I hugged him and prayed over him. And his mom laid her hand on my shoulder and his shoulders, and then Rodrigo and Kevin put their hands on us, and we were praying together and hugging for probably a good 4 or 5 minutes. And it was just powerful that I was able to touch this young man with my story of how Jesus saved my life from depression, from being bullied, and changing the way I saw myself. And the mom was super grateful that we took the time to recognize her kids, that we took the time to pray for her children and to love on them. And it was just so powerful what a hug and a kind word can do. Rewind a couple days, same team. I'm trying, PJ. So same team. It's our second house of the day, first day of Bible distribution. And we come to this family, again, two families in a house. And we ask, what can we pray for you about? And the grandmother comes out, and she's hobbling, and she's got about an 8 to 9 inch scar on her left knee, about an inch wide, or half an inch wide, and then her other knee's swollen up twice as big as the other one is. And, you know, can we pray for that? And she's like, yes. So the young lady on our team, Kira, never prayed for anybody for healing before. She drops to her knees, puts hands on her knees. We pray for her. We ask her, how does it feel? She goes, it's a little better, still pain. We ask, can we pray one more time? So Kira gets back down, puts her hands on her knees. I get down next to Kira, put a hand on her back, and Jessica, another young lady that was with us, put her hands on Kira's hands, and we prayed for her, and I look up, and the woman is crying. She's bawling, And we get done, and he goes, how's it feel? Check it, I'm doing this, and she's doing it with me, and she's no mas pain. She's just crying because God healed her, both of her knees. She was able to walk for the first time in years pain-free. And God just really revealed it to me. That's what the scripture, store up your treasures in heaven, not on earth, where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. That's what that means. To touch people with love is to store up treasures for yourself in heaven. And so, yeah, those were two of my favorite.
Okay, so my name is Catherine. Most of you probably don't know me because I sneak in the side door and I sneak out the side door. And two of my biggest fears are groups of adults coupled with groups of children. So when we went to the orphanage on Sunday and it was all the Compassion kids and all of our team, and I am just so out of place. They're like, go play with the kids. And I'm like, huh, okay. I am not connecting with any adults, with any kids. I'm going to be in my own little world. I'm going to go sit on the sidewalk and just be like, okay, God. So I'm sitting on the sidewalk and just watching everybody else connect. And this little kid walks up and sits down next to me. And I'm just like, oh, God, now what? And I'm like, well, I can at least, like, blow bubbles with this kid or something. So I start blowing bubbles. And then somebody comes over to take a picture. And he's like, he grabs me and hides behind me. And I'm like, oh, now he's touching me. And I'm like, now what, God? And so then his mom comes over and sits down, and I know it was God. I had my phone on that day, and I didn't have it on every day, and this girl sits down next to me, and I introduce myself to her in Spanish, and very broken. I'm like, me llamo Catherine, and she gets really excited, and her name is Catherine, and we started with Google Translate talking, and she was a single mother, and I'm a single mother, and just all of our struggles were, like, pretty identical, so she was asking if I was friends on Facebook, and we've stayed in touch since we left. And it was just cool that I'm like, huh, this is not me, God. I'm just going to sit here. And he's like, fine, I'll bring someone to you.
Hi, my name is Taylor. For most of you that don't know me, well, we were at the volcano, and the ground's kind of uneven, and I grabbed a muffler of a school bus. Never do that. Never. And then the medical team wrapped me up, everything, and then I was sitting on the bus just bawling with tears that it hurt. And while that was happening, I was saying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help all the pain leave from my hand. Once we got back to the hotel, it was gone. Healed.
Okay, so when we were doing ministry on Wednesday, I think it was the picture where there was like 150 kids in one room or something crazy. And so I was sitting on the floor as they were doing dramas and stuff, and this little girl walks up to me and just sits next to me, and I was like, okay. And she wasn't talking, but she just, like, crawled in my lap and just sat with me, and I was like, okay. And I was trying to talk to her, and she wouldn't talk to me, and I was like, well, I guess you're just going to sit here then because you're not talking. And so her name was Rosa. I finally got her to talk to me, and she was just this tiny little thing that was so shy and so bashful, and she just held my hand forever. And then at the end, whenever they were like, okay, team, go around and pray for the kids, they said it in Spanish first, so she knew what we were doing before I knew what we were doing. And so I went to walk away, and she grabbed my hand and put it on my chest, and she wouldn't let me walk away. And I was like, okay. And so I'm just standing there, and I'm just praying over and just praying with the other kids. And I pick her up, and she's just hugging on me and loving on me. And then I put her down. And as we were leaving, I told her, I was like, I have to go. I have to get on the bus. And she just gets all sad and walks away. And I was like, that's not heart-wrenching at all. And so I was waving to her. And then she's, like, walking away and keeps looking over her shoulder at me, watching me get on the bus. And I blew her a kiss, and she just smiled and kept, like, blowing me kisses and waving to me and walking away. And I was like, well, don't know if I'll ever see her again. And then the next day we went to do Bible distribution, and she had come with her mom or grandma to help our team with Bible distribution. So she walked with me holding my hand, handing out Bibles, putting stickers on the houses. So it was just like this really sweet moment of, like, there wasn't much conversation because she was so quiet, but, like, I had a part of pouring into her and then watching her pour into people in her community.
Hey guys, that's loud. my name is Chelsea, for those that don't know me. I feel like everybody does this, so. I'm trying to figure out, like, which story to tell, because there's so many. And I was praying. I'm like, Lord, which one do you want me to share? And I think he really just wants me to tell you all that. So, while we were there, I was in children's ministry, and so we would do Bible distribution in the morning. And usually you get split up into teams, and some teams have, like, translators with them. Others do not. Last year and this year, I'm usually kind of by myself. Like, it's me and then, like, five Nicaraguans, which is fine because, like, I can, like, I understand a little bit, so I can kind of get by. Well, as we would go to houses, I would do, like, what I have written in my book, and we would ask if we could pray. And then after that, usually, like, the Nicaraguans would be like, okay, let's go to the next house. And I'm like, wait a second. I would just feel like the Lord would want me to tell them something. And, you know, again, I know a little Spanish, but I, you know, don't know a lot of verbs. But I would hear, like, with one man, he actually didn't live at the house. He was just a worker in the yard. He was working on landscape. We were kind of in an area that was more, they had a little bit more money, so they had better, like, bigger houses and, like, yards and things. And I was like, I wanted to tell him, you know, like, the work that you're doing is for the Lord. You know, like, don't be discouraged, and, like, just work hard as if working for the Lord and not for men. And luckily I had Bethany with me, and she kind of brokenly translated that to him, and I asked him if he understood, and he said yes. And then another time, God wanted me to tell her that she was a child of God, and I was like, Dios, like, hija, you know, like, I was like really, really broken Spanish, but afterwards, and I would say words that I didn't even know I knew, and I was like, I know that that was God. And, like, I asked her, I was like, do you understand, like, entiendes? And she would say yes. And so many times God would just give me words that, like, I was like, oh, I didn't know I knew that one, you know? So, like, even if you are worried or you're scared about not saying the right thing, like, the Lord really does, like, give you the wisdom and the knowledge and the strength to communicate, like, even if you don't even know. So, yeah.
I'm Tracy Lamont. I thought I would go ahead and let you know that. Okay. I just wanted to share with you, in our weakness, he is strong. And I know that, you know, some people went with us to Nicaragua and others didn't, but I just wanted to share with you, you know, no matter where you are, whatever you do for the Lord, it counts. If it is just saying a prayer, if it is stepping out and feeling stupid when you do something. I still don't speak fluent Spanish. It's still pretty broken. I can find you a bathroom, which is very good. I know where the garbage can is. There's all kind, you know, I can get around. And a lot of women are very grateful for that when they come with me. So, anyway. But I just wanted to tell you that, you know, there was one time in Bible distribution, I went with I had like a slew of women with me, which I love. And they carry umbrellas when it's hot. So they were very insistent that they would walk with me. And you know how awkward that is? You know, you're kind of like, I don't want to go under. I need to stay under. And then they're hitting you in the head. And, you know, it's kind of awkward. But it was precious to me because they were very serious to make sure that the sun was off of me and that I did not get burned. Which, you know, you feel loved by that. Oh, my goodness. But we would go house to house, and one time we were going, and there was these two people. They were sitting outside on a concrete wall, and it was a man and a woman and a child, and they looked up at me and had both of them were glassy-eyed. So, you know, I'm like, okay, either they've been drinking or doing something. So, and that can be really intimidating. I mean, that's intimidating to me, but, I just had the love of God. You know, I felt really a love for them. And, of course, I mean, I didn't have an interpreter. Hold on. That might have been the time that I had Bill. Bill might have been with me. So I did have an interpreter that time. And so I just began to tell him, you know, Jesus really loves you. And it's not a coincidence that we're here. we came all the way from the United States to be right here in this moment where you are to let you know that Jesus loves you. And we gave him a Bible, and they both started to cry. It was just amazing, you know, and I felt like God in, I got to speak about Jesus in the feeding of the, you know, the 5,000, where the boy with the two fish and the fish and the loaves, and he gave what he had to the Lord, and the Lord took it, blessed it, and gave it back. And I just feel like that wherever you find yourself, when you feel like this is all I have and this is not enough, because, you know, Andrew said, well, this is what we got, but gosh, what is that among all these people? But Jesus knew what he was going to do. And I love that. So I want to encourage you, if God is calling you to do something and you feel very, very small and you feel like this is all I got, you know what? Jesus will take that and use that. No matter where it is, and even if you feel like I'm going to look like an idiot, Jesus covers us. And you know what? Even if you feel like an idiot, God still uses that. I mean, because I feel like that a lot. In our weakness, he is strong. So, hallelujah.
I'm Jenna, for those of you that don't know me. And this time was my fifth time going to Nicaragua. And I was actually the leader of the drama team this year. And it was kind of scary going in. I was like, whew, I'm leading a drama team by myself in a foreign country. Cool. So I'm looking at these people and the oldest person we had was 23. The youngest person we had was 14. So that is like the perfect age for drama. I had 12 people. And they were the most talented, most positive, most incredible group of people I think I've ever met in my life. We got along well. We prayed together. We walked out this journey going through Nicaragua together. And it was one of the biggest blessings I could have asked for, is for there are four of them right here, right next to me. These four guys, they were incredible. I had more guys than girls on a drama team, which is crazy. That never happens. And I was like, I have people to play Jesus. I was like, this is awesome. So I was so excited. And, you know, I was, and our team was the youngest team. But let me just say, there was power in this team. And we went out and we led people to Jesus. We went out and we prayed with people. There were healings. There were like, it was insane. And I'm so, so, so proud of my team. I'm so proud of all the things that they did, the walk that they walked. And I can't say anything else other than that. Like, I cried watching them do dramas. I was like, proud mom over there, like, that's my team.
My name is Keegan, and I'm just proud of all these people, all these filthy gringos. I'm so glad. It just was so great. But throughout the week, God was just kind of laying the word family on my heart. And as the week progressed, he just kind of showed me more and more of what that means. On Monday, we went to this church. It was filled with kids, so many little boys, and I'm the baby of my family. I don't know what it's like to be a big brother, but as I felt just indescribable fear watching an army of little Nicaraguan boys just rush me, I just kind of felt like God say, like, you're a big brother. Like, these are your little brothers. This is your family. And as I look out now, like, we're family. And that was the blessing of this week to me, being able to go out and not just see strangers or people that didn't speak my language. It was family that I got to meet for the first time. It was people that God loves just as much as he loved me, that I had the honor of meeting and giving them a Bible, of giving them a smile, of giving them a hug. And yeah, that's just what God was telling me this week.
Hi, my name is Bryce. This is my first time here, and it was probably the best thing that's ever happened so far in my life. And, like, I met so many amazing people, I couldn't be happier with the group I got. And one day, on, like, our last day of Bible distribution, we were going out, and it was kind of like a, it was more of a wealthy kind of side of the place we were at. And so but everyone was kind of at work, so we kind of just shoved a Bible through the door, dropped it through the window, heard some dogs barking. And, but we went up to this one house, and this man answers, and he's probably like 30, 40s. He's super nice to us, invites us in his house immediately, gets us all chairs. We sit down, and I do my little regular lines, and as it goes on, Ron Deuce, who is like my leader of the group at that point, they're talking, and I have no idea what they're saying, but he translates at first, and we find out he's a pastor, and he says he's super blessed to have like people like us come to Nicaragua and just spread his word, God's word, and it was amazing. And then at the end of it, he said he had a gift for me, and he hands me this folded kind of sheet, and voila, he hands me the Nicaraguan flag, and it was like an amazing gift, and I was so touched by it, and I had an amazing time. Yeah.
Hola. That's Spanish, by the way. So this was my second time in Nicaragua, and it was just an incredible trip. And I have two short things real quick. The first one was, there's this one day, and we're going out, sort of like we were going to go do Bible distribution, and they're loading off the bus, and they're like, okay, Zach's platoon, stay on the bus. And I was on Zach's platoon, and they're like, we're going to the mayor's office. So my first thought was like, what do we do? And they're like, no, it's all right. We're going to go pass out Bibles to all the government officials and to the mayor. So, you know, I'm kind of like, all right, okay. And so we go, and we're getting off the bus, and we're walking up. We're loading up with Bibles. And we just get in there, like, standing around, and a bunch of the Nicaraguan pastors are there, and they're like, all right, and I'll just hand out a Bible to anyone you see, anyone here. We're like, all right, sweet. So we start walking around, and we're outside, we're handing out these Bibles, and then we go up to one of the doors to, like, a building, and this lady opens the door, and she works there, and she's, like, she's kind of, like, trying to close the door, like, we're busy, and then someone's like, we have Bibles, and she's like, oh, you have Bibles? Yeah, come in. And so it was so cool. We got up, like, a team prayed with the mayor of that city, and right in the biggest pictures in his office was just Jesus, and so that was super cool. And then another short story was just during Bible distribution, I think Madison's and Holbert's not here, but it was her and I and then two Nicaraguan ladies. And we went up to this richer part of the town with these neighborhoods. And we went up to this one house and we'd like, you know, hola, gringos en su casa, was sort of make some chuckle. And this lady comes out with a little girl, and we're like, hey, do you have a, like, you know, we're here with a mission to give a Bible to every person, every home. We're like, do you have a Bible? And she was like, yeah. So we're like, can we see it? She was like, well, it's at my work. She's like, I work here. It's at my house. And we were like, okay, well, here's a Bible for the people that live here, because she said they didn't have one. And then we're like, can we pray for you? And she's like, yeah, sure. So we start praying, and the Nicaraguan ladies are praying for her. And so I'm just like, you know, claiming this place in Jesus' name and everything. And I look up, and she's just crying. She's in tears. And she's just like, thank you so much. And it was just incredible to see these people so open to God and just wanting to know him more and just so open to the word. And so that just touched my heart.
All right. My name's Chase, and this is my second year here. And my story actually begins last year's trip. I was on the drama team, and we were setting up one day, and I was off to the side playing soccer with a couple of guys, and I was only with him for about 4 or 5 minutes before I had to go, but right before I had to leave, this guy, he kind of comes over and he gives me a hug, and he was wearing a hat and I was wearing a hat, and he kind of takes mine off and gives me his and puts mine on him, and so I was like, you know, what are you doing? But I guess we're trading hats now. And so so I take a picture with him, and I he was on my phone screensaver for the whole year, and I was just like, every day I would see him and pray for him. And coming back to Nicaragua, I was like, you know, it'd be awesome if I could see him again. I mean, the probability of me seeing him is very slim, but it'd be awesome if I could. And so, like, the first day out, we go to the church where we were going to pack up Bibles, and it was in the same neighborhood that I saw him. And so throughout the entire week, I was looking for him, and on the last day, we were like, all right, we're gonna go find this guy. I didn't have his name. All I had was a picture of him. And we go up to these people and we're like, do you know who this is? And they were like, no, we don't know who it is. And we go up to another group of people and they were like, oh yeah, we know who he is. He lives like right down the street, but he's really dangerous, and I don't think you should go. You shouldn't go there. And so I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, this is my friend. Like, he's gonna be good to me. And one of the GDL guys we were working with, he's like, I really don't want to go. Like, he's really dangerous. Like, a bunch of people like keep knives on them because he's so dangerous. And I was like, no, we're gonna go. And he kind of stares at me. He's like, okay, let's go. And so we knock on his house, and a woman comes to the door, and we were like, we need to see this guy. And she's a little hesitant at first, but she goes and gets him, and he comes out. And he has this big smile on his face, and he comes over and he gives me a huge hug. And it was just awesome to be there and love on him. And we took another picture, and it was just awesome to be there.
Well, my name's Ben, and, you know, God connects us to people through our lives, like Chase's story. And sometimes we don't even realize he's going to do that. 7 years ago, I went to Nicaragua, my first mission trip out of the country, and I was actually on the construction team with Mike. And I was on the construction team because I was hiding. I wanted to serve God, but I didn't want to talk to anybody. And so I was like, yeah, I can build a house. That's easy. It's not easy, but I did it. So I was there, and I left that trip, and I went on to YWAM, and I forgot about all those people on that trip. And if you would put all those people here today, I probably would not even remember what they look like or their names. But about a year and a half ago, the Harpers come in. I think it was a year and a half ago. That sounds right, right? The Harpers come in, and I lead their YWAM schools, which is a mark of their humility that they would submit to me for a year. I just thought it was interesting. Like, God, you know, God's really cool, and how he connects us to people, and I was really blessed by that. But then this year, I'm on the construction team because I really wanted to serve, and I was able to work on their house where they're going to go live to be full-time missionaries, giving their lives sacrificially for the people of Nicaragua. And I just remember, like, the last day, I'm, like, doing some menial task, like sanding stucco on one of the drywalls, and just thinking about how the Lord connects us to people, and how I was able to bless them in that, and just feeling this, like, overwhelming sense of the Lord's faithfulness, and how he connects us to people to serve and to be family, like Keegan was talking about. And I just want to say, Harpers, you guys are my heroes. Mike and Janine, you guys are my heroes. And the Lord's got you. He's really got you. And I know it's been a long process, but he's got you. And I think just that little glimpse of just like how he's connected us, when we had no idea 7 years ago that was going to ever be a thing, like, he's got you. Just imagine the stories you guys are going to tell in the future. And you guys are seriously my heroes.
I'm Betty. And woo! Woo! I almost did not go to Nicaragua this year. I swore I was not going to cry. Okay, for the past 4 months, I've been having pretty severe back and leg pain, and Cameron and Colin are going, talk me off the ledge here. And on the Saturday before we were supposed to leave on Monday, I called Jen Hansen. I was like, I can't go. I am miserable. I'm on steroids. I am miserable. And she was like, what is the last thing the Lord said to you? And I said, well, he told me at church to go in fear, that I can still go. And I'm like, but he didn't say go in pain. So she goes, you have to honor the last thing you heard from the Lord. He will carry you through if that's the last thing he told you. So I load up on the plane. I was seeking pain meds to get there and couldn't get anybody to prescribe any for me because it was the weekend of July 4th and all the doctors are out. And it's like, so I'm like, okay, so miserably I fly, get there miserable. I have three great days, and I'm like, hallelujah. And then it came back on Sunday, and I was miserable Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And the reason why I'm telling you this is I kept thinking, why am I here? I just need to go home. I'm not why am I here? And Tracy preached, and she talked about, in our weakness, he is made strong. And I was like, okay, I am as weak as I can get here. So he is being made strong, and I'm on the medical team, and I'm looking at all the pain meds going by. Thinking, oh, Lord, can I load up on some of those? But anyway, so in our weakness, he is made strong. And then Pastor Jeff talked on the last night about what if you didn't come? Thank you. What if you weren't here? What if? And I sat in the back, and I was like, so why was I here? And there are two things that I got from it. The first is I started a ripple effect. My little visit will have long-lasting effects rippling out, and I know they will. I know there were things that happened while I was there, and the ripples will continue. And the second is that you guys, you know, we send out those support letters that say, hey, if you can't give financially, your prayers are really appreciated, you know. You know, it's like, hey, you know, thanks for the money, prayer too, you know, that kind of thing. I cannot tell you how much your prayers supported me, because when I was really, really weak, I knew you guys were praying for me. I knew many were praying, and I appreciated it. And I want a little sign that says, I survived.
That was my roommate for 10 days. She rocks it. So 6 years ago, John and I would sit and hear the beautiful testimonies from Nicaragua. And every summer, he said, why don't you go, honey? And the bottom line was I had a full-time job and other obligations, and it was kind of a catchphrase. Well, I have less time than money, but, you know. And this year, after suffering the loss of my husband in March, you know, God kind of started speaking a few things to me, and then I had an appendectomy. And the day after my appendectomy, Pastor Jeff and Tracy showed up in my hospital room, and I'm standing there like, and they said, pray about going to Nicaragua, Pam. It would be good for you. Pray about it. And I said, you know what? I will. And before I knew it, I found myself in the process of looking at flights. And the next thing I knew, I was talking to Carla. And the next thing I knew, I booked a flight. About 3 weeks before I left, I was walking out of the YMCA. And I picked up a little scripture in the basket there, and it was Isaiah 58:10. And this is what God says. If you will extend your soul to the poor and the needy and hungry, then I will rise, bring your light. I will bring your light out of darkness. So that was my charge. That was my battle cry. My stories are brief. God is not, God sets you up for everything. My first experience was the day we went to the Compassion Center in the orphanage. I knew before I went that that's where my child that John and I had been sponsoring for 7 years was, Jose Luis Mercado. And I had his bookmark in my Bible. And I remember writing in my journal one night, and I kind of said, you know, honey, I'm going to get to see our child. God is so good, but you know that. Got down there, and I did not have the bookmark with the child's number on it, which, you know, presents a huge problem. The obstacles were huge. But Sylvia and Randhouse and Pastor Jeff and Tracy said, we will try to see what we can do to make it happen. And so I just sat on the bus on the way over there that day. I said, God, you're bigger than this, and if it's meant to be, you're going to orchestrate it. And even when we got there, there was still no guarantee. So we went about setting up and doing this, and Pastor Jeff came and told me, he said, guess what? I said, what? We found him, and you're going to see him. So about an hour later, this 15-year-old boy that we have had his picture on our refrigerator for over 7 years, I got to meet him. I got to hold him in my arms, and I just became hysterical, I'm sure, but it was just such a blessing. That was more than I had ever anticipated. My next thing was I was on the medical team, and about the third day into it, they put me on the prayer team, and for some reason, that just seemed to click. And we prayed, and we prayed, and the group, I was with Roy and Tim and a couple other people, a woman, she was a grandmother, and her three grandchildren were with her, and we were praying, and of course, we'd always ask them, how can we pray for your family, how can we pray for your children? And we got through the children, and then our interpreter asked her what we could pray for her. And she said, well, I recently lost my husband 9 days ago. I'm a widow. And there was no question. I mean, I just like, oh. And so I started speaking with her and sharing with her, and I asked the interpreter, I said, how long were they married? 42 years, just like John and I had been. There are no coincidences, and so I got to pray for her, I got to hold her, and we just cried, and it was just such a time of healing for her, and for me as well, and that's when the Lord showed me. He said, you extended your soul for this woman, and then your light gets to shine out of darkness.
Hello, you already know my name. This was such a privilege to be able to go on this trip, and so much our heart to continue the work. And we were like, I was like ready to hit the ground running to get to work on our house because we want to get to Nicaragua. God's placed it on our hearts, you know. But at the same time, there were these other people on our team. They were distributing Bibles and sharing the gospel. And I'm like, Lord, I want to do that. That's what you placed on my heart to really to do, you know, because he's filled us with such a full passion to see the Nicaraguan people come to the Lord. And he's like, yeah, they're planting flowers, and they produce fruit quickly. You're planting a tree. It takes time to produce that fruit, but it will continue to produce fruit for years to come. He's like, it is so my heart as well to see young people in Nicaragua being raised up and then being sent out as missionaries themselves to other places. It's so my heart for the young kids in Compassion to come to know me and to get to know who I really am. It's so my heart, the Lord says, for pastors to be discipled so that they can disciple their churches. He's like, you ain't got nothing on me. He's like, I want this stuff more than you do. And he was just confirming that. You know, and reaffirming, yes, that this is God's call for you in our lives. So the guys were troopers. They were willing to get dirty and wear themselves out, working hard for that, and we so appreciate them helping to plant those big seeds. So I had to leave in the middle of the trip. Didn't want to, but two trips overlapped. I came back here, met with Janine, and then we flew to Los Angeles to do more training with FMI, where God showed us yet even more. He was showing us our heart here. He's placed that passion in our heart for Nicaragua. But God's heart is so much bigger than that. He showed us that his heart is for some of these other places that he's sending the other missionaries to. His heart is for the Middle East. His heart is for Fiji. His heart is for South America and for Europe. Some of the other places that our friends in these classes are going to. So the Lord, his heart is way bigger than ours. We want to try to sometimes make him work in our timing, but his timing is so much better. And his will is going to be done.
Hi, my name's Chelsea. My story starts a few months ago when I first decided to come on the trip. I had actually applied for a camp counselor position in Cambodia, and when I applied, I was like, oh, there's no way I'm going to get it. Like this, I kind of just did it on a whim, and I actually got the position, and I was praying about it, and I just did not feel at peace at all about accepting it, and I called my dad sobbing, and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't want to do something that the Lord doesn't have for me, but I feel like this is such a cool opportunity, and I was kind of angry that I didn't feel like I didn't have God's word to go to Cambodia, because in my mind, like, that would be so awesome. And so my dad was like, well, just pray about going to Nicaragua. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm not going to Cambodia, I guess I'll go to Nicaragua. And I didn't really feel necessarily called to go. I was kind of just going because I didn't want to miss out on both missions trips. And so I went to Nicaragua, and in a couple weeks, like, leading up to it, I didn't feel like going. And I even asked my mom, like, hey, Mom, do you want to go instead of me? And my dad was like, oh, no, you can't do that because the plane ticket was made in your name. And I'm pretty sure he just wanted 10 date nights in a row. And so I got up at 4 in the morning, and we went and got to the airport, and I got on the plane, and I still wasn't sure what exactly I was doing. I was on the medical team, which was a huge blessing, and it was so awesome. But in the first couple days, we were doing clinics and just going through the streets, and it was just so poor, and you're dripping sweat, and you have to avoid the streams of urine that are just flowing through the streets. And I was just thinking in Matthew 28, the Great Commission came to mind, and go into all the nations and make disciples of all the people. And it just really struck me, and because the scripture doesn't say, God didn't say in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all the nations if you feel like it, or if you don't have to go out of your comfort zone, go and do this. And that just really struck me, because I was going out of my comfort zone, and I didn't really feel like going, but that's not what the Lord had said to me. And I just wanted to encourage all of you, if you're thinking about going to Nicaragua or even another country, there are so many countries out there. The United States is a nation, and you could just be called to stay here, but still you are called to go out and to minister to the people. And so I just wanted to encourage you all with that, and just to be praying about going to Nicaragua or Cambodia or wherever the Lord has you. But he is calling you to go, and it's so important to honor that. Thank you.
Well, would you stand with me? Thanks for your patience today and listening to these testimonies. It's the only time of the year that we do this, and here's why we do it. Because every single one of you were a part of this trip through your giving and through your prayers. And your prayers do absolutely make a difference, as you heard. So we wanted you to be able to share in the blessings and the testimonies, because you were a part of that. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your support, your prayers, your blessings. And let's pray. And remember, as you go into the harvest, man, let the light of Jesus shine through you. So, Lord, thank you for this time together today. Thank you for bringing this team back safe. Thank you for the incredible fruitfulness of the ministry that took place in Nicaragua. And, Lord, may that just be the beginning of a day in and day out people here at New Song who recognize and realize we're all on mission everywhere we go, wherever we are. Let your light shine through us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.